Makos Perik Base Mishnah Vav 2:6. We'll now have a bunch of different halachas explaining how this process works. The truth is that in the context of the Bavli, it's three separate Mishnayos, so there's a lot going on over here. The Mishnah begins by saying Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, but Tehila at the outset, Echad Shogeg ve'Echad Meizid, Makdim in the Ari Miklat. Says Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, and normally disagrees with this, at the outset, everybody who kills runs the Ari Miklat, whether they killed b'shogeg or b'mezid. Uvezdin sholchan mevino so misham. And then the Bezdin will summon the killer back to the city where the event happened and try the case. Mishnas chayev misa b'vezdin. If a person is convicted by the Bezdin, then harguhu, then he is executed. And as I said before, the Rambam paskens, the execution is carried out lachachila, ideally, by the goel hadam, meaning the people who are ro'oi liyorsho, the people who are his heirs, and that could be daughters if they're daughters. But if they can't or won't do it, then it will be carried out by the bezin, by others. Vishalonis chayv misa, someone who is found to be not guilty. Now, the word misa here is, according to many girsos, taken out, because it doesn't really belong. The point is, mishalonis chayv, meaning that they're not guilty neither of being executed by Mazid, or they're not guilty of a gullus for shogeg. Then pataru, they exempt the accused, so he goes free, and therefore no irha miklat. No irha miklat, and also no further authority for the gol hadam to persecute, harass, chase, whatever the accident killer, because it was an accident. It was an onus or a karval onus. Now, Mishnas Chayv Gullus, the middle case, someone who did kill, but it was confirmed to be a regular Shogeg case, that person is sent back into Gullus, back to the city of the Ir HaMiklat, Machazirin Osam LeMakomo. Then you'll return that person or those people back to their place, the place they fled originally. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Veheshivu Oso HaEida El Ir HaMiklato. The community, meaning the congregation who has finished trying him, will now see to it that the accidental killer is returned back to the city that he chose as a near miklat. Now that's part number one, like new paragraph. And again, in the Bavli, it's like a new mission altogether. So now the pasuk we just read says veheshivu oso ha'eda el ir miklato. They return him to the city that he had, you know, fled to originally. And the mishnah, the pasuk, I should say, continues on. Asher nas shama, he fled there. Ve'yashav ba, he will dwell in that city. Admos hakohen hagadol, until the death of the kohen hagadol. And that will end his kind of prison term, if you will, being in the ir hamiklat. We can discuss more in a moment about the kohen gadol. The Gemara suggests the reason why the kohen gadol is somehow tied to this is because the kohen gadol should have been praying for the welfare of Klal Yisrael, and that such a mishap shouldn't occur on his watch, so to speak, as the kohen gadol of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he shares some level of culpability. When he dies, then that's a kapara, and the accidental killer goes free. So now the mission will transition now to talk about who is this kohen gadol. So the truth is, there are three instances where the word kohen hagadol is mentioned in the psukim, in Bamidbar, in Lamed Hey there. Basically, it says v'yashav ba admos hakohen hagadol. That's the first time. Then later on, it says ki v'ir miklato yeshev admos hakohen hagadol. A second time. Then it goes on to say v'achrei mos hakohen hagadol. After the kohen gadol dies, yeshuv harotzeach el eretz ahuzaso. So the third time. Since there are three mentions of kohen hagadol, the Mishnah will say there are three possible people who could be the kohen gadol who dies, who acts as the kapara and effects the release of the accidental killer. And that means if there would be two of these people alive, the first one to die. Okay? Again, the focus here is going to be people who were considered to be kohen gadol by the definitions we're going to set out in a second, at the time that the killer was convicted of having to go into gullus. That's what matters. Not when the death occurred, but when the conviction happens at the hands of the Bezin. So the three possibilities are, Echad Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, either the Kohen Gadol became the Kohen Gadol because they anointed him with the anointing oil. This is referring to the anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu himself created back in the time of the Mishkan and was used to anoint Kohanim Gadolim throughout the Mishkan and First Temple period. King Josiah, he hid it away so it shouldn't fall into the hands of the non-Jews. And so after that, meaning throughout the Second Temple period, that was no longer an option. The way that you made someone to a Kohen Gadol was rather the second possibility, which is ve'echad hamaruba bevagadim. A Kohen who was essentially dressed up as a Kohen Gadol. Literally means one whose garments were increased. And that's referring to the fact that a regular Kohen Hediot, wears just four articles of clothing specifically, whereas a Kohen Gadol wears a total of eight. These big days zahav, those fancy clothes with the wares, including the tzitz and the ephod and the like. So by wearing those eight vestments, he becomes a Kohen Gadol. That invests him with the sanctity of Kohen Gadol. And if a Kohen Gadol was appointed and as a Kohen Gadol by virtue of the fact he was dressed up already prior to the conviction, so then his death will affect the atonement and the release of the accidental killer. Ve'echad sha'avar m'mishichaso. And third is a Kohen who's like a lapse Kohen Gadol. The case here is, let's say, for example, if you remember from Maseches Yoma, we said like the Kohen Gadol, if he can't serve as Kohen Gadol on the day of Yom Kippur because he woke up Tameh, like however it was, let's say Balkeri, so there was someone else appointed as his understudy who would step up and be like the replacement Kohen Gadol and do the vote on Yom Kippur. Now, when their first Kohen Gadol, their primary Kohen Gadol, becomes Tahor again, not on Yom Kippur, but let's say the next day, he would resume his activities as Kohen Gadol. So the person who had been his replacement now is actually still a Kohen Gadol, just not a practicing Kohen Gadol. He's like a Kohen Gadol emeritus, but he's subject to the same rules about, who he can and can't marry, where he can and can't go, and how he can and can't mourn. Those that apply to a Kohen Gadol, that applies well to the displaced Kohen Gadol emeritus, that guy who's Sha'afar Mishichaso. So that guy too is a Kohen Gadol. If he dies, he affects a kapara and the release of the accidental killer. At all three of those, any of those three people dying, Machzir Nesa Rotzeach. At that point, the killer, again the killer Bishogeg, is returned from Gaulis. Rebbe Yehuda says, Af Mashuach Milchama Machzir Nesa Rotzeach. Says Rebbe Yehuda, there's actually a fourth Kohen who, if he dies, is also going to, like a Kohen Gadol, effect the release of the person who killed accidentally. Rebbe Yehuda says that because, first of all, I told you there's three mentions of HaKohen Gadol in the Pesukim, but there's actually later on a fourth mention where it says, V'lo sikhu kofar lanus el ir miklato lashuv lasheves ba'aretz admos HaKohen. You can't accept essentially a bribe to let him out early, and he stays there until Admos HaKohen, until the death of the Kohen. So this is a fourth mention of the Kohen Gadol dying, says Rabbi Yehuda. So this is adding the fourth person, the Meshuach Milchama, who I'll explain in a second. The other, the Tanakama, who disagrees, says, listen, there we're mentioning Admos HaKohen. It doesn't mention HaKohen HaGadol, so it's not a fourth mention, so we don't need a fourth person. But according to Rebbe, it is. So who is this fourth person? It's Meshuach Milchama. That is, if you recall from Maseches Sota, prior to the Jews going out to war, a special Kohen is he's anointed and given the role of reading certain psukim and sort of giving, I'll call it a pep talk, if you will, to the soldiers before they go out to war. So that person, he's a Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, but he does have a number of the restrictions and mitzvahs that a regular Kohen Gadol does have. He's not allowed to tear his clothing over a deceased person. He's not allowed to tear his hair over a deceased person. He's not allowed to become tamei for a relative. He's not allowed to marry an almana, a widow. He has to marry a besula. So those mitzvahs still apply like a Kohen Gadol to this Kohen Meshuach Milchama. So says Rabbi Yehuda, his death also affects release. Tanakama says no, halach like Tanakama. Lefikach, and since the death of the Kohen Gadol is going to be in the interest, if you will, of the accidental murderer, Imosein shel Kohanim, the mothers of the Kohanim Gadolim, anyone whose death would affect release, they're afraid for their sons' lives, and therefore mesapkos lehen michia uksus. They would provide michia as food, ksus as clothing, to the people in Gullis, those accidental killers, kedei shelo yispalu al b'nehem shiamusu, so that the accidental killers shouldn't pray that the Kohen Gadol should die. So that's what the mothers are trying to do to protect that. Now, if you'll ask the question, wait a second, how could the prayers of a killer cause an undeserving Kohen Gadol to die? In fact, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Kilas chinam lo savo. The curse that comes from for no good reason, it won't come to pass. So what's the mothers worried about? So the answer is, that's true, except since we're saying that the Kohen Gadol is bearing some responsibility because he should have been praying that such a mishap shouldn't occur, and the mishap did occur, so maybe he didn't, you know, do what he's supposed to be doing, and therefore he would be somehow responsible, and therefore he somehow would be susceptible to the prayers, the curse, whatever it is, the prayers of the people in Gullis. So therefore the mothers of the Kohen Gadolim tried to essentially provide some kind of bribe so they shouldn't pray for the demise of these Kohen Gadolim sons. Fine. Now, the Mishnah's not quite done yet. The Mishnah has one more topic to do, and again, in the Bavli, this is a third unconnected Mishnah. It says, Mishnah Nigmar Dino, if after the court rules, this person must go into exile. So that's the Gmar Din. He's been paskin, he's convicted and sentenced to exile, as Ir Miklat. And then, Meis Kohen Gadol, a minute later, the Kohen Gadol dies. So then he'll be exempt from going to Gullis. He was sentenced, but then as soon as the Kohen Gadol dies, that's the Kapara, he's released. So he'll never actually have to, in practice, go there. However, if the Kohen Gadol, who was the presiding Kohen Gadol, dies prior to the sentencing, and then Uminu Acher Tachtav, they appoint a new second Kohen Gadol in place of the first one, prior to sentencing, ul'achar miken nigmar dino, and after that, again, he's sentenced to gullis, chozer b'misaso shel hasheni, then it will be the death of the second Kohen Gadol, which is the one that matters to effect the release from gullis of the accidental murder. The point is that that guy too could have been praying, you know, that he shouldn't be, the second Kohen Gadol could be praying that the accused should not be sentenced to gullis.